You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. The new government has announced a plan to remove and replace relationship and sexuality education guidelines, citing the need for a return to an achievement-based curriculum rather than what they've referred to as an ideological one. I spoke to Professor of Education at the University of Auckland, Katie Fitzpatrick, about the new policy and what this means for rangatahi. Here is that interview. To begin, can you tell us a bit about the implementation of these gender and sexuality guidelines in 2020 and why their presence in the curriculum is important?
Yeah, sure. The guidelines are actually called Relationships and Sexuality Education Guidelines. So I think that's an important distinction in terms of the way that gender is being bandied about right now in all kinds of ways. So the guidelines actually have quite a history. So the first version was actually in 2002. They were updated in 2015 under the national government. They, you know, were keen to do that work. And then in 2020, the 2020 version is also an update that was sort of sponsored and actually led by Tracy Martin, who was a, you know, minister in the previous government and a New Zealand First Minister. So I think that's kind of interesting in that they've been integral to leading and developing and sponsoring this work, and now they are wanting to, you know, cancel it or delete or, you know, interrupt sexuality and relationships education in schools. So I think that's something that I'm really concerned about, is that New Zealand First never signalled this in their pre-election manifesto at all, that they were thinking of removing relationships and sexuality education guidelines from schools. So a lot of young people are really angry about it, and they feel like it's a bit of a betrayal of hard-fought work that had gone on to advocate for better relationships and sexuality education. I mean, I don't know how good your relationships and sexuality education was when you went to school, but there's a lot of young people who see that there's a lot of room for improvement in this space.
Yeah, it wasn't very holistic. There was a lot of room for improvement, and that was with the guidelines.
Yeah, and that was the purpose. I mean, the guidelines were in some ways a response to calls from young people. We saw three different petitions to Parliament, you know, from 2017 onwards, actually specifically asking for better relationships education, better consent education, better sexuality education. And a lot of that is because of the changing nature of the environments that we're living in. You know, we know that young people are now living in an intensely digital age where there's freely accessible pornography, dating is on apps, you know, Instagram and TikTok are key sites of information about body image and identity.
Mm.
We have high sexual violence statistics, and young people are saying, actually, we need to learn about this. We want to talk about this. We want to understand. We want to build skills. We want to know how to support our friends. We want to think critically about this stuff. So they really want that learning in schools. So I think the move to remove relationships and sexuality education in schools is sort of a direct move against that, against what young people want.
What kind of message does this policy send, do you think?
Well, it's hard to know at this point. The wording in the coalition agreement is just the removal and replacement. So I think it's sending a message that there's going to be an intervention in this space from the government. But I think we don't know what that might be. It is slightly troubling in that, you know, this is not an area that young people have seen as problematic. There are some, there's misinformation out in various, you know, social media channels, et cetera, and in communities that is creating fear about gender and gender identity and expression. And for me, that's exactly the reason that we need to talk about it in schools. We need to try and understand so that the fear agenda, the fear, is not driving the conversation. Gender is not actually a scary thing. It's just something that we're all living and thinking about, and that young people have busted open, you know, the binary ideas of gender that have been quite regressive for a long time. So I think that's exciting, and we want to have that conversation. You know, the conversation shouldn't be driven by fear.
The new government has said that the current relationships and sexuality education guidelines are ideological. Do you agree?
Well, I think all all curriculum and all government documents, actually, all national policies have different ideologies in them. Ideologies are just theories and bases of knowledge. So, of course, but there's a range of different theories that circulate in curriculum. And from an education perspective, good curriculum actually looks at different theories, looks at the bases of different arguments and different forms of knowledge and, you know, different research traditions, and seeks to understand those rather than say that some are good or bad, but to question them, to trouble them, to understand them so that we understand the different perspectives, for example, on gender. I think that's healthy for us to look at what different arguments are and where those arguments come from, what the political bases of those arguments are, what the knowledge traditions are, and then to try and understand them and what effects they have. So I think what worries me is that the idea that we might remove content about gender from curriculum is kind of silly. You know, gender is everywhere. We're all grappling with gender and identity and what that means. And so let's learn about it. Let's think about it. Let's talk about it rather than shut down that conversation.
Do you think that the policy itself and its intent to remove relationships and sexuality education guidelines is rooted in ideology?
Yes, absolutely. We know that there's been, you know, advocacy from right-wing religious groups and from, you know, trans exclusionary groups that want to reinscribe, you know, the gender binary. So I think it's very ideological, of course. I think the term gender ideology and how it's being used here as a weapon is quite silly because, like I said, if all policy documents, all government policy has various ideologies that can be seen in it. And those are, like I said, different knowledge traditions, different theories that come from different places on the political spectrum and from different research traditions. So understanding what those are, I think, is interesting rather than just dismissing something with a term that gets, you know, used in quite a lazy way.
The rejection and sort of dismissal of the guidelines as ideology seems almost as though it's a sort of rejection of critical thinking, which I think is incredibly important, particularly in such a polarized time.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, New Zealand First, if you look at their manifesto, they suggest that they want more critical thinking in schools. That was part of their platform. So this goes directly against that. I think it's also a denial of youth culture and young people's worlds. I don't think there's very many people under 30 who would suggest that the removal of relationships and sexuality education is a reasonable move. You know, young people have advocated exactly for the opposite. And so I think we're seeing this real generational gap in understanding, you know, digital worlds, the world of dating and intimacy, the need for consent education, the kind of shift we've seen against sexual violence, the inclusion of takatāpui and LGBTQI young people. You know, it's a move that sort of directly goes against all of those things that are actually really normal in young people's worlds now and that we want to grapple with and understand and think about. So for me, this is a move that seems quite out of touch with young people in a very direct way.
Do you think the government's intention to remove relationships and sexuality education guidelines in schools has the potential to alienate and harm certain individuals and communities?
Yeah, I think the message that this sends is concerning. And, you know, we know that young people who identify as takatāpui or LGBTQI are more likely to be bullied in schools, are more likely to have mental health issues because of that bullying and the negative environment. So the last thing we want to do is increase that harm. We want our schools to be inclusive environments that are welcoming and supportive of a diversity of young people. So I am concerned about that in the sense it seems like a step backwards. And, you know, we know that we have really concerning mental health stats in New Zealand that we need to do something about. And there is clear indication that mental health problems are very connected to cultures of exclusion, bullying, sexism, racism, homophobia, heteronormativity. You know, those connections are clear. So this does concern me in that sense.
What can rangatahi do if they're concerned about this new policy?
I think young people can absolutely have a strong voice in that. We're seeing that voice right now on social media, but I don't know whether the incoming ministers, you know, will be connected in with that. I think writing to the incoming Minister of Education, Erica Stanford, I mean, this is a New Zealand first policy, really. This is in their coalition agreement. So this seems like, you know, quite a fringe position. And, you know, my hope is that the ministers will actually take a much more even view of this and listen to young people. But I think young people have to have a voice in the political space. They need to be writing to ministers to make sure that their position is on the agenda here.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think we can see what happens in this space. Policies do go through review and updating over time. That's not necessarily a cause for concern, but I think young people absolutely should be having a voice in this to make sure that the gains that we've made in this space, I mean, you go back 20 years and relationship sexuality education in schools was, you know, almost completely absent. We now have made some progress in this to, you know, to support young people, to engage with the kind of complex environment that we're all living in now. And I'd hate to see us go backwards to a time where we're seeing the repression of sex and sexuality, the repression of women and gender diverse communities, Māori and Indigenous ways of understanding gender and sexuality. So we don't want to lose those things, I think, is my key concern. And I'm hopeful that you know, the new Minister of Education will see this as an opportunity to engage young people in this conversation and see what young people actually want.
That was Professor of Education at the University of Auckland, Katie Fitzpatrick, speaking to me about the new government's plan to remove relationship and sexuality education guidelines from the curriculum.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.